Hello, and welcome to the all-new Happy Clappy Jibbing Premiership Band Naked Football Show. We're joined tonight by presenter of ICR's Sunday Night Comedy Show, Unknown Pleasures, Mr. Joe Ward.
Hello.
And we welcome again, of course, England goalkeeper David James.
Good evening.
And on day release from Halsey Bay Prison, we're joined by Mr. Phil Ham. Right, I think that all that needs to be discussed now is how Tam will fare in the Premiership next season. So, off we go, lads. Studio at icrfm.co.uk if you want to ring in, or email in, sorry, or text us on 0779 780 712. So, who are we going to buy next season then?
Europe, here we come.
One victory
away at QPR, and we're already planning trips to the San Siro. I think we perhaps need to... reverse.
Unlike United, we can score at the San Siro.
Absolutely.
That's true, we can, yeah.
And if we'd had Margaret Stewart up front instead of Richard Naylor, we may even have got a result at the San Siro.
Yeah. Wasn't he injured at that point?
I'm not sure. I can't remember.
Does anyone remember that?
Mr. James?
No, sorry.
Long time ago. Anyway,
that long ago? Grief.
It seems, doesn't it?
That's true. The only Italians present, of course, on Saturday were Fabio Capello, Flavio Briatore and people like that, wasn't it?
So were we all kind of, what's the word?
Suitably pleased with the performance as much as the result?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I thought it was the best performance season that I've seen, certainly. It had the two things I like to see in Ipswich Town, that's industry and that's class as well. To have the two on show in one game is great, and certainly the last two goals we scored showed both of those attributes, and just thought it was just a great game to watch, as opposed to the usual doom and gloom that usually that town.
I did get an email from a supporter in America on Friday, because of course the only games supporters in America to watch the ones on Sky, and he was saying how terrible we've been in every Sky game for going back, presumably I think to last season. I can't think we've done well this season at all. Did we play Palace at home on Sky as well this year, or was that last year? But anyway, we've done pretty dreadfully on Sky, so it was one for the foreign town supporters.
Palace home was last year.
Got interviewed
on Sky before the game. Apparently, I never saw it, but
no. It was superb, wasn't it? Really, I mean, it was a strange old week. Going from the Monday when everyone was going for Jim's head, and there were tales of protests being organised, all that kind of stuff.
What was the feel in the stand up once we went one down? Was it all doom and gloom again?
Well, I mean, actually, I tended to think that I don't know, the Swansea game, you kind of thought, because we let a goal in the third minute, that we weren't going to get back from it. But QPR, someone was saying even before that, we'd probably looked the better side in the first 3 minutes.
It was right. At Swansea, we just were out battled. They got their bit of luck and their bit of quality show through. And I think we were the Swansea team in the QPR game, where we worked harder than the other team, and through that we got the breaks, and in that we actually used a bit of quality to take advantage of the breaks. And I say, normally the first goal would take the wind out of ourselves, the head would go down, but there was something, that extra bit of energy, and they managed to keep up all the way through the game.
If anything, do you think they scored too early?
QPR did.
That's what I was thinking. I thought if you score a little bit late in the first half, then you build on it. Whereas if you score so early in a game, then
if you do well for the first 20 minutes, then get your goal, it's all settled down and you move on from there. But I think because they scored early, it's almost like they hadn't.
Yeah, I know what you mean. If you're going to concede a goal, you might as well do it in the first couple of minutes, because it gives you a long time to get back from it. I just think they didn't look like they could hold on to the ball, did they?
No.
I mean, I don't know, you've been to quite a few games, I think, this year. What I noticed, the difference between the QPR game and the first half at Barnsley, was that we kept the ball and took the game to the opposition, whereas in the majority of the away games, we've sat back, like we did at Palace, for example, and soaked up pressure and caught the opposition on the break.
It's almost a hallmark of Jim's management style, or his tactics, is safety first, and we've been found out too many times, because Ipswich, that's not the way we play. We always, through history, we've tried to play more football than the other team, and if we score one more, that's good enough for the win.
But I mean, looking at the results, I think we've won 7 away from home this season now. And the Barnsley performance, the first half we absolutely wiped the floor with them, and I'd say that was probably the best performance of the season, to be honest. But I mean, not everyone saw it, because it was midweek away at Barnsley.
I did.
You did as well, yes. You weighed up whether to go to Chelsea or Barnsley, yeah, and were one of the few people who picked Barnsley.
I chose the hardcore route.
But the first half there,
that was like two different halves, two sides of town, and both equally good.
That was exactly the point I was going to make, really, is that we kind of played the open attacking football in the first half there, and then as soon as Barnsley scored and made it 2-1 right after the break, we just sat back, soaked up anything they threw at us, and really, at the moment, we're so good at the back.
Really,
Richard Wright is so good in goal.
Yes.
And Gareth McCauley, I think, has been absolutely fantastic.
Both of those took some time to get going at the beginning of the season, and it's no, you know, strange thing now that now they've both settled in and performing to their best, I'd say, that's when the results have started to come, or at least, apart from Swansea, we're not getting beaten each week.
No. We haven't lost many games all season, really, have we? I mean, if you think about it, we've had although, obviously our away record's very good, our home record is pretty poor, but most of the games we've not won, we've drawn, haven't
That's
we?
That's it. And the State Swansea are probably the only team recently that have been that much better than us, that have deserved the result that have got out of it.
That is the thing that I would say, is that Swansea, Birmingham away, Wolves down here, they were all a distance better than us.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that's there's two things we've got to do. One, close the gap between those sides, and two, be consistent, because, you know, we've still not managed to win three games in a row this season. It's nearly a couple of years, isn't it, since we did that?
What I think about McCauley is, I think having injured centre backs and Richard Naylor going, I think that's settled him down a bit. So I think he's lost his nerves of thinking, yeah, I've got to perform this week, else I'm going to lose my spot. I think because we've had so many, inadvertently, because we've had so many sort of injuries,
I see what you mean, yeah,
stuff going back, he's thought, well, you know, I'm probably going to keep my place now. Mm. So maybe he's grown in confidence now, he's going to get a good run.
I think just the fact that Wright and McCauley have both kind of got used to playing alongside one another, because you think about the beginning of the season, you know, your main sort of captain centre half and your goalkeeper, both new players to the team. I think that's quite, it takes time.
And especially for McCauley, having the armband straight away, I'm sure that did restrict his play slightly.
And someone was saying, someone's written a piece for the Next Fanzine actually about saying how, they read an interview with him, I think, in the programme, where he said that he tried to play kind of more of an Ipswich style early on in his Ipswich career, trying to presumably play out the back more, and perhaps was consciously trying to play not in his own
natural
way, whereas he's kind of a bit more of a kind of rough and ready centre half than he's not Klaus Thompson, is he? Do you know what I mean? He's I'm trying to think of an analogy, or someone to kind of compare him with.
Rio.
Rio
Ferdinand would prefer to play it out.
Yeah, he's not Rio. Yeah, I think that's fair enough. He's not that sort of. Yeah, and I think he's. But having said that, his pass against Forrest for David Wright's goal was absolutely fabulous.
It was probably slightly over-egged, but the fact it came from a centre half who's not known for it was why everybody was cooing and everybody was shocked by it.
Yeah, and you know, it's for the moment he thought the number four on his back meant that he had to play like Franz Tyson.
That was equally matched by young Quinn on Saturday.
Pass and a half, that was, isn't it?
But that was also finding Waters nice and fresh after rested for a few games, coming on a sub, back to his sparkling best because he's got that extra zip. Find himself in that position, teams playing week in, week out were learning that he would be coming off that, you know, that off the diagonal there, off the far post, and defending against it. Whereas last season, he got so many goals from just that.
And the other thing, I suppose, was that Palace, QPR had changed their formation shortly beforehand to kind of, and we'd gone 2-1 up shortly.
That's it.
So we're catching them sort of a bit on the break. But, you know, it's just once in a lifetime pass for Alan Quinn. Yeah. I'm sure he's kind of. Yeah. Getting some video screen on his wall at home, just playing it constantly, so that anyone who comes around says, "Oh, you see that? Yeah, it was fantastic." So, any comments on Quinn's pass or anything else?
Nothing. No, we got one from Ewan, who I know very well, and he is threatening to turn up and play his first ever game of football on Friday. He's never played football in his life, by all accounts, and he's not learning anything about tactics on this show. This is the first time he's ever listened.
Really?
But hey ho, bless him. I can do you some ones that came in on Naked 40 while we wait.
Yeah,
for that one.
Go on, then.
Right, this is. Let me see. Adrian, doesn't say where from. I think Saturday will provide the real test. This will indicate whether the Rangers' performance was a one-off or maybe a springboard for promotion.
That's true. I mean,
that's true, I think, because that's a hard one, isn't it?
Beatable. But the sort of teams that we've not been beaten this season.
Yeah.
And I think that's the key. Like the email says, this will be the true test. If we go on to Preston and get a result where we don't traditionally really get good results, then we can be properly confident for the rest of the season now.
Have we won at Preston since we've been back in the same division as them? Because they didn't they go up the year we went down?
I don't ever remember winning.
I can't remember winning there. No. Did we win? Oh, we won there in the FA Cup in about 1979 or something, didn't we? I think when they had Roy Tunks in goal.
Crikey.
I don't know.
I was probably there.
I always like that name, Roy Tunks. Is it Roy or Ray? I can't remember.
No idea.
I'm sure someone will text in and tell me what it's wrong. But yeah, you're right. Deepdale's never been a kind of ideal place to go. But someone pointed out on the message board the other day that we're averaging 2 points a game at the moment over the last 9 matches, which Chris Rand, who our stats expert, suggested was pretty much the form that we'd be required to get.
I think that's the form over a whole season, isn't it? Is the acknowledge 2 points per game over a whole season will get you there.
But the position we were in, as in 2 or 3 weeks ago when he kind of worked that out, he reckoned that 2 points a game would just about scrape us 73 points or whatever it is he reckons we need. And if you think Preston away, Southampton at home, you'd think that we probably should get 4 points
out of
that. It's not an unrealistic ask, is it?
If the floodlights hold out, we should beat Southampton.
Yes. Oh, yeah, I remember that game. Yeah. What else
similar one here from James Cummins, a great philosopher once. I thought he said photographer once wrote. a great philosopher once wrote, "Week is a long time in politics / football."
That was Harold Wilson, actually.
Harold Wilson. There you go. The great philosopher, Mr. Harold Wilson.
Huddersfield fan.
He was, wasn't he? Yeah, with a pipe. As only last week's playoffs were a pipe dream, a fantasy that we can... I should start that again, because it sounds nonsense now, doesn't it? Now we've started talking about Harold Wilson. Great philosopher once wrote, or Harold Wilson once wrote, "A week is a long time in politics or football. As only last week the playoffs were a pipe dream, a fantasy that we only dared dream of. Whilst both the win at and performance at QPR were absolutely fantastic, was the result A, a fluke, B, another false dawn amongst a season of exceptional mediocrity, C, the platform to finally put together a consistent run of form to take us into the playoffs, D, none of the above, E, something else."
F, all of the above. Well, I suppose, you know, it's what we just said, really, that if we get something at Preston, then it's not the false dawn that we've kind of had so many times. And then if we then get something against Southampton, then I think we can start to kind of think, you know, going into the last, what would be the last 10 games, wouldn't it? We seriously have got something to... to play for.
I think what that when the QPR result was so pivotal. I mean, we lose that and it's doom and gloom for another 2 weeks, and
it's a team that we are supposed to be, you know, battling with.
Yeah, and also the fact that, I mean, the other thing you can't kind of ignore, as well as, you know, fantastic result against QPR, the fact that everyone else around us kind of didn't get a good result shows the appalling mediocrity in this division.
I mean, people often say, you know, look at the championship for real football, you know, everyone can beat everyone, but I'm not sure that's a great thing.
No, I totally agree with you. Everybody's on the same. It's like A1 racing, in you know, that sort of where everyone's about as good as each other. You don't really get that interested because everyone's passing. You know, I remember once they were saying how saloon car racing, I'm going to really know nothing about this, so I'm going off on a limb, how much better it was than Formula 1 because there was so much passing the whole time. You know, and yet you watch it and you think, oh, that's not actually very interesting because anyone, you know, go past one corner, past the next, and this is what the championship's like. It's not interesting because everybody can beat everybody in a way. I think it needs sort of you need some element of class.
Especially when you've got our fans calling for our manager's head and saying this, that, the other, and then we go to QPR, have a really good positive performance, but then it was like being at Portman Road beginning of the season, booing substitutions and saying you don't know what you're doing, and, you know, booing players, and I'm thinking, well, and that's QPR, who we were level with going into the match. So it's not just us that are disappointed with being better than mid-table.
This is it. Everybody's kind of bored. Everyone's just bored of the team.
Because there's no clear, you should be here, you should be there for all the teams. There is, you know, the 8 teams that should be around the four playoff spaces, maybe.
And if you're not, it is a very
And if you're not, then it's then you're having a poor season.
Yeah,
you can't have that many teams.
I suppose there are that number of teams that have that expectations That's greater it. Than where they are. I mean, there's probably only people like Doncaster and teams like that sort of think, well, we're doing a really good job here, and obviously the teams that are top of the league. Actually, the team top of the league aren't doing terribly well either. There we go. Anything else on that?
Jamie Cottage. 1 week, Town fans think the manager is doomed to hell. The next, we're on a promotion push. Again, it's crazy. I've decided to remove all thoughts of sackings, playoffs and any other such nonsense. Put it firmly out of my mind until either actually happens. It's all got a bit silly and over the top. Let's enjoy what's left of the season. Besides, after all that snow, summer will soon be on the way. Oh,
that's a cheery.
That's a nice cheery, cheery note.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, the whole thing about Jim's position, Marcus Evans did make it quite clear that it's not something that's going to be considered until the summer, which I don't. Do the panel consider that a good thing?
Well, if we you were have to now, don't you, after Saturday?
Well,
if we were genuinely in a worse position than we are, if we were facing a Norwich, Southampton, Watford situation where they are, then maybe it's not such a good thing, because you'd want to make the changes, get everything set up, ready for next season to push and to go for it, maybe. But where we are at the moment, there's no reason why we can't carry on this season and actually finish in a positive position and then use that as a springboard. The thing with Jim was, he came in, obviously we didn't have any money, no prospects, he was one of us, and it was a positive thing for him to come in, and he had a 3-year plan. Marcus Evans comes along with his money, and the clock got reset, and so we're only halfway through a 3-year plan, and I think people are forgetting that. They were expecting that within a year of Marcus Evans and the money coming in, that Jim should be that much further on, when in fact he had to tear up his plan and start again.
So I think that if we don't make the playoffs, then Jim will be gone, don't you?
I think that coming into the season, they always sit down anyway, and especially with the type of person that we understand Marcus Evans to be, he would definitely sit down and review it in a very cold way, and if it isn't good enough, then Jim will be out.
I think, I'd
agree with, players is a minimum for Jim and his job.
I mean, I read, you know, the quote from Brian Barwick about Steve McLaren when he went, that a qualification for the major tournaments is the minimum requirement of being England manager. I think qualifying for the playoffs, having spent £12 million, is the minimum requirement of a town manager.
I got the feeling that, I mean, similar to Steve McLaren and his sort of near the end of his England career, but there was a point where people were looking at England and saying, well, if we lose, it's not going to be that bad a thing, because at least McLaren will be gone. I got the feeling that that was kind of happening with Jim as well, thinking, I tell you what, if we don't, you know, if we lose this week, he might go. And
I got
such a negative feeling.
I got that feeling. If we'd lost these two games, then at least there'd be a kind of a point where even the fans that wanted Jim to stay would accept it, and then we could move on and look towards the future and try and be more positive about things.
Yeah, I mean,
if we now fall back down again and we just become average for the rest of the season or start losing these games, and it'll be quite disappointing, I think.
Yeah, and of course the other big thing that's coming up is season tickets, isn't it? And
yes.
If we lose the next four or something ridiculous like that.
I believe that was one of the arguments a lot of people were saying for getting rid of him, because people won't renew if he's still here.
But I'd imagine that if given that Marcus Evans has now said Jim's staying until the summer, if we then sell 2,000 season tickets in the first, in the early bird thing, presumably the next thing will be that in the summer Jim will be gone, and they'll kind of repackage the season ticket thing as into 2009, 2010 without Jim. Look, we'll have to. But there are things to remain to be seen. Really, anything else on the
Blue Buns? Good to see Mr. Holloway have a go at our press. Slightly change the subject. Good to see Mr. Holloway have a go at our local press. I think their Jim out stance last week was disgraceful, and no doubt if Town do get promoted, they'll claim it was a kick up the pants the club needed. A two-faced, and then it goes into Egyptian hieroglyphics. Two-faced,
really?
Bleep, 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 bleep.
I'll have a go at Ian Holloway.
It's very clever. It's gone into Wingdings at that point, isn't it?
I'll have a go at Ian Holloway.
It goes into Wingdings, sense.
If anyone caught the Sky coverage.
No, what was he wearing?
Tweed suit.
With tweed waistcoat.
Yeah.
Really?
Just not the dumb thing.
Just and exactly the same tweed as well, so.
I think that's probably quite high in the studio.
I think he was going for the bumpkin look, but.
And it was also the same thing you wore on the Soccer M as well in the morning.
Really?
So it's just a faux pas.
So you didn't kind of, you weren't jealous of Jeff Stelling, whoever it was, sat next to him then?
No.
in that tight, small studio. I think that the paper's probably made a bit of an error, really, with their stance. Obviously, I have to declare a slight interest being a columnist for the Evening Star, but I don't think that supporters, and correct me if I'm wrong, appreciate a local newspaper calling for the manager's head. I know Terry Hunt is a town fan and, you know, has been for 40 odd years, but supporters like to sort of take their own opinion and will always probably take their own club side against their local newspaper.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If a local newspaper suddenly comes out and says the manager must go, when the paper's having a go at the club, fans will sort of instinctively side with the club, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a chairman trying to sell the ground from under us. It's not a manager who is quite visibly dragging the club down, almost on purpose, almost, you know, doesn't care. It's not a situation like that, so it's not for the paper to try and influence the opinions of the fans.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's not that bad a situation we're in.
Not for the paper to jump in. Yeah, the fans, if they want to make their protests, fans are very passionate and they have the right to make their protests one way or the other, but the paper should always just report on the facts unless it is a situation that is dire for the club overall and not just a you know, kind of like mediocre football.
Well, like, newspapers are always going to give their opinion, but do you, I mean,
which is fine, when they do a little paragraph from page 3 or 4, whatever it is, that's fine, but to actually have the whole front page, you know, and actually start a campaign to get rid of, you know, to get somebody sacked. I mean, I could go through that paper every day and find 100 reasons why the editor should be sacked, but it'd be pointless to try and start a campaign like that, and it's not my position to do that.
I won't give any opinion on that.
I didn't mention columnists.
But I think that, you know, newspapers are always going to give... I mean, do you think it was a case of them sort of... obviously, they were reflecting opinion amongst some supporters.
Yeah.
Because there were supporters who were calling for the manager to be sacked. But do you think that kind of... They went too far.
They weren't reporting on that opinion. They weren't quoting, they weren't interviewing fans of that opinion. They were taking what ended up being a minority and putting it over to all these people that don't actually go to matches, that just use the paper as their reference, as that is what everybody feels and that's what everybody should feel if they don't, which I don't think is their remit.
Maybe it was slow news week. What should we put on the front page this week? This will sell. Let's go for this.
I mean, when do you think it's ultimately backfired on them then?
I think it has.
I think it has.
Do you think, I mean, you know, it would have sold a lot of copies that Monday morning, wouldn't
it? Yes.
But do you think ultimately, over a period of time, that it's something that people are going to remember and is going to affect the image people have of their local newspaper?
It is when they're... kind of advertise how they support the club and how they, you know, kind of they're always behind it and, you know, that whole, that they're a positive force, you know, pushing and supporting the club like they do, and then they come out with kind of a wild statement like that and then suddenly nothing, they don't back it up. I mean, if they continued their campaign, probably be wrong, but you'd have a little bit more respect for their position. But it's like they came out on a Monday and they haven't even withdrawn it, but they've kind of like kept away from it since.
I think if
they realised it wasn't really reflecting the majority of fans.
And do you think, I mean, as someone who kind of writes the Star, do you think people associate the opinion of the Anglian and the Star as being the same thing? Because I think that editorially, from my perspective, that they tend to be different.
Oh, I don't know. A few years ago it used to be, but I think, you know, over the last couple of years or so, it's you might as well buy one or the other, because they pretty much report the same things.
So you don't, I mean, because I would say that the Star traditionally, ignoring the sort of columnists like myself, but the editorial side of it tends to be the Star that runs these kind of backing the Blues back into the
campaigns,
Premier League type things, whereas the Anglian has never really run anything along those lines, I don't think.
I just think the strength of the Star campaign, if you can call it a campaign, if it does go well, and by the end of the season we do reach the playoffs, it's going to look very hypocritical on themselves. That, you know, people will say, well, previously in that season you were very much behind him. Very much against him. I think they've set them up for, you know, for quite a big fall. Cause
but as this guy, what's his name, Blue Bun, said... they'll probably take the claim for giving the town a kick up the pants at the
end. Exactly, yeah. I mean, you can spin it all sorts of ways.
Yeah, you can, but I suspect that that's a bit too crass in a way, isn't it? Don't you think? I mean, I don't know whether the protesters will say the same thing, perhaps.
Maybe a little reminder of what they should be achieving would be fine, and they could claim that they kind of helped steer the club back on course. But that's a bit of a big kick for them to claim that it was actually productive and helpful.
It's not going to be, it was the Sun what won it type situation, then.
This is a quickie. a slight change of subject, which I imagine we'll all have a bit of sympathy here. Whilst I applaud the lad's excellent display on Saturday, I can't help but feel sorry for Shumi. I for one cannot understand why he was dropped in the first place. Your views, please. I agree.
I've got my opinions, but you go first, because I bang on.
I struggle with Shumi myself. I can see the quality, but I haven't seen the actual quality week in, week out from him. Now, I don't know if I probably, that is opposite against a lot of people's views, but I haven't seen enough myself for him to hold down a regular first team place. And also, I think the style of football that we want, the 4-4-2, the pushing, more attacking, probably doesn't suit him as much.
Yeah, I think that's kind of sort of similar to what I think. What's your view, Joe?
I kind of agree. I think YouTube can make, you know, YouTube can make Lucas Podolski look like a good forward, and can do it for Shumi as well.
Now, I think why he kind of dropped out was we changed the midfield, didn't we? Brought in, so we've got Quinn, Norris, and Miller. I think it's a Coventry game, wasn't it?
Yes.
So we've got masses of running, and Shumi sort of sat, and I don't think it's got the mobility that Jim obviously wants in the team at the moment. And you know, as you say, he has definite quality about him. His passing's good. And when you talk to Macedonians, they always want him to bomb forward more, but he doesn't seem to have the kind of running.
Yeah, that was the 50% of Stephen Gerrard that he is. He's got that one, you know, kind of, he's quite strong, he can tackle, and he, you know, he's got passing, but the whole grabbing a game by a scruff of the neck and running 20 yards and scoring a belter,
It's not there.
Not there,
is it? No. And I mean, to be fair to him, the Balkan Stephen Gerrard was made up by the British press, because they thought he looked a bit like him, rather than the fact that he played through years of experience of watching him play for...
Well, if it was true, we've got two Stephen Gerrards with Garvin alongside him, so...
Well, yeah, people have said that about him, but...
Actually, Garvin does actually look a bit like him as
well.
Well,
yeah, but that's where the similarities end, I think. I don't think he was particularly Garvin-esque, Gerrard-esque, is he?
Not really. Do you want to do a quick prediction for Saturday before we have to go?
Yeah, well, we Preston. I think actually everyone go to the Football Museum.
Oh yeah,
because it's fantastic.
Just because you're in it, Phil.
And I'm in it.
Come on, yeah.
Which is, you know, I have an exhibit in a museum. yeah, I did a video from the 2000 playoff semi-final away at Bolton, so you can see me with hair, along with Pickles' lead. You know, the dog that found the World Cup. Match. I think we might win it actually, because we're definitely due a win at Preston, aren't we? Because we say we haven't won there since the days of Phillips, Crawford, and people like that. I think we won 3-0 there in a cup match, or 3-1, and Mariner, Walk, and Burley scored, or something like that.
Slightly different team to what we've got now, though, isn't it?
Yeah,
a wee bit.
Yeah. And yeah, we do, yeah. I'll go 2-0 because we're quite good, aren't we, away, and we don't tend to concede that many goals.
Joe.
It's a tricky one. I'm gonna go 2-1 because I've got John Park in. I think he'll score.
Do you?
Yeah, he's a big old boy. So
he does give heart to any pub footballer anywhere. Really,
exactly. It's strange. I mean, if he can make it, I mean,
yeah,
and we will slip the net. So it's incredible.
I know. I find it hard to believe every week that I slip the net. But anyway.
David,
I'm gonna go for 2-1 as well. Actually,
2-1,
hard fought 2-1.
There you go.
So on three notes of victory to the town, that's 4-0 to Preston it is then. So thanks everyone for listening. Thanks to Joe, thanks to David James, thanks to Phil. Till next week, have a good one. Bye bye.